It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, 4 o'clock hour. Reno is in Vegas. Sticking with us. Thank you. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. We're at TI, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. My God, they're so accommodating here. Tony Neville. That was a bad hand signal on my part?
Yeah.
He came by and I thought he was doing like, hey, I just had a really good time on the mic. I'm eating it up. Like a lot of success, like Zeke, and he was doing that motion with the spoon. Yeah. And then I sort of understood that he was asking if we wanted food, and I was like, no, we're good. And then I gave him a thumbs up.
Give him a thumbs up.
And that meant.
And he just ordered food.
Sorry, Damon, you're not here. Someone can bring it back for you. We'll box it up.
Yeah, box it up for me.
But we're going to have some too.
I don't know how you do that.
It's not going to happen. So it's fine.
Which part?
Nobody's boxing up food and taking it to Damon.
What are you talking about? Vanessa's right there. She's coming back to the station.
She's going to eat the food.
Yeah, she is going to eat the food. She said she's really hungry. Sorry, man. We'll take pictures for you, though.
Yeah.
It'll be good. So I'm going to call an audible, and we'll spread the big four stories out and throughout the rest of the show. But I want to build on a couple of things we just talked about with Willie on women's basketball. We're going to get to the Sweet 16 here in a second because we got the games coming up. But there's two things. You are a rules guy.
Sure.
Now, you understood what I was saying, right, about Hannah Hidalgo from Notre Dame and nose ring gate today?
Yeah.
Now, with women's sports, this stuff doesn't get the attention and it needs. And I also don't believe that, and the women have brought it up, the NCAA sometimes kind of just, the setup for the women is often very unprofessional. And I also believe it, I watch stuff happen in women's basketball, and I'm like, is there as much accountability for the referees who are doing the women's NCAA women's basketball as there is for the men's? Because we pointed out last week there was stuff going on with Crooks from Iowa State. You know, she's big wide center, right? Like 6'3", 300 pounds, going against Cameron Brink from Stanford. And Brink is throwing her to the floor. Brink leaves the floor after getting a fifth foul, and she said F you to the official. That's got to be a major penalty. Now, she claimed... Well, others claim she said F you to the opposing bench. What's the difference? And they didn't tee her up.
Pretty big difference.
Okay, well, the official, I mean, believe me, I was very into the story. The official was right there.
But that, I mean, as somebody
the other
who,
thing is, why is that not policed correctly? And two, why is Tara Vanderveer cool with her star player saying F you? We'll get to it. We even had Steve Kerr finally say, Draymond Green was wrong. He dropped an expletive, and that's why he got the second T.
You think men's coaches punish their players for cursing?
I don't see it as much. Now, I brought up two examples during the UNLV season. And actually, one was during the tournament. It wasn't UNLV. I brought up the example of Keenan Blackshear on Nevada walking down the floor in their one game of the Mountain West Conference tournament and looking at one of the band members and saying, shut the F up.
Good.
There's also accounts of one of the San Diego State players repeatedly telling Kevin Kruger to shut the F up during their game here.
Fine.
That one's interesting. I mean, in the end, it's the referee who's got to police it.
Well, I also don't think they're allowed to.
Do I see... I feel like I see stuff, and this is not me being a Pollyannish, you know, or a wallflower with women's basketball. I see stuff, and I'm like, wait a second. I don't want tease for taunting, but some of the stuff that goes on in women's basketball, enough with Angel Reese with the waving, the player, you know, the opposing player's goodbye. Enough
almost,
with Caitlin
it's
Clark
almost
acting,
all I like,
okay, Steve, you're going too far
like
now.
It's almost all I like about women's basketball.
You're going too far, Steve.
Like, what are you trying to do?
Well, there's that theory that...
The games are not as good. Let's be honest.
The women,
they're just not. Like, I like that part.
So you need the extra level of what seems like real hate.
Yes.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
It's enjoyable. And also the talking to the other... talking to the other bench or talking to your own people. Like, you can't take that away. That was my favorite tool.
There is a lot that goes on.
It was my favorite tool as a coach.
I see it in almost every game, at least once on each side, where someone will make a shot and then say something to the bench in the corner.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the bench is saying. You know, the guy, the jabronis on the end of the bench a lot of times are are talking. But on the Hannah Hidalgo thing, there is a rule. You can't wear jewelry. She had a nose ring in. She got to start the game. She played games all year long with this nose ring. She's taken out. She misses time. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that Notre Dame's coach, Ivy, should have been like, no. It should have been done before the game, and I'm sure the rest would be like, it's your responsibility. No.
We're not
taking her out and playing on. We're all going to go on the sideline here, and if you want, tech us off the floor.
Yeah.
I said, tech us.
Tech us off the floor.
And let's make a real issue of this, because this is bullcrap.
Yeah, if it's something that's been done all year, it's preposterous to then just decide in the middle of a game, we're not going to allow that to happen now. That's silly. You can't do that. That's not legitimate in how it's supposed to be played. It is the rule, and like if you want to address it, you address it, but you address it before the game, too. Did somebody say something? Did somebody from the other team say something? If that was the case, they're trying to get a delay or get whatever they're trying to do in the game, trying to get a free timeout.
I mean, honestly, if someone on the other side said something, you wouldn't do it at the beginning of the game.
Right, you would try to do it.
I would do it with 4 minutes left.
Right. Well, I would do it with a minute left.
Well, it took longer than 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It took a while because they don't know how to take it out. Now she's bleeding all over the place. And I know, men's games get screwed up too, but it seems like in the women's game, stuff slips through and then we're just like, oh, no one pays attention to it. Like, that's a big deal. They lost the game by 5 points. And no, I did not have money on Notre Dame women's basketball. I just think it's absolute nonsense.
Well, officials, for the most part, are nonsense in every sport.
So, Damon, you and I had talked earlier in the week about how that round of 64, 31-1, with the higher seed winning.
Yeah.
And then you pointed out, hey, the top four are all hosting mini regionals in each bracket.
Yeah.
So what about my idea to try it once where you're playing neutral, everyone comes to Vegas, and I think I'm right on this, right? If you're looking at about 7,000-plus and set up for basketball. Like, I don't think the Sphere is so unique. I don't think it would be fair to put a game in there.
Yeah, Final Four.
But I think I'm right on this. If the Thomas and Mac would host part of it, right? And then you add in MGM Grand, Mandalay, T-Mobile, Orleans, and if you want to do one in Henderson, that one's kind of pushing the more like 6,000, 6,500. But you could make that a neutral. Now, the number's not the right number. Because I'm, what I say, seven? Over seven? Or is it six? Whatever it is. Could we do it here? And I'm going to say this, and let's talk brass tacks on sports in Las Vegas, because we've had a lot of sports that are hosted here. If the NCAA expects more than 10% of the crowd in any of their buildings to be Las Vegans, don't come here.
Yeah.
10%. 10%.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm talking, that means at a regional that would be at the Dollar Loan Center, you're not getting more than 600 locals, and I think that's aggressive. As basketball is going on all over the place, so no one here is going. I'm just going to set it up that way. Very few.
Yeah.
But I think women's basketball has probably, you think there's, could you safely say there's 20 programs that every year they're like, we know we're going?
Yeah.
So those 20 programs, those fans could just book Vegas beginning of the season. We know when the round of 64 and the round of 32 is. We'll be there.
Well, I mean, I would say you'd want the whole tournament here. So then you would have to just book probably the second weekend.
But I think that one's tough. Because for the most diehards, they're going to stay a month.
Well, I don't want it if we're not getting if we're only getting the first two rounds, I don't want it here.
And that was my other question. There's a lot of questions here, Damon, so I want you to jump in.
Okay.
If it's crossing over with the first weekend of the NCAA men's, we probably can't do it.
No. And it will be.
Because I think Willie, was that what Willie was saying? That it would be here when that was going on? Yeah. There were like 500 people in this space last week. More.
Yeah.
700 people in the space. I don't want to get them in trouble with the fire department, but 700 people. I don't think 10 of them would leave here to go to a women's game.
No.
That's not a dig on the women.
No.
It's just they're here for what they're here for.
Yeah. You're here to watch.
Right. So I gave you a lot of negatives and positives. Damon, what do you think?
I take the positive, Steve, and I would say the top seeds, put them in Thomas and Mac or T-Mobile, and I do think they would get a good turnout. in theory, I think that this would work out well. If you are, let's say, Iowa or South Carolina or UConn, I do think that those fans would travel. If you're saying, hey, the top seeds, you'll play your first-round game, your first and second-round games at T-Mobile or Thomas and Mack, however they want to divvy that out, I think they'd get a pretty good turnout. I can't speak to who would show up for a 4-5 matchup at the Orleans or, you know, those type of things. But I do, at the top level, I think it would be a good attendance.
I don't. I mean, I don't think it would be a good attendance, but I think it's about more being more competitive. Like I'm for making the tournament more competitive because it's just not. It's not a competitive event right now.
It's not fair in the first round.
No.
For the first two rounds.
No. But I think you have a better chance here than you do just a normal. If you do it all in one location and it's here, you have a better chance of getting attendance than you do at just a random site. If you're like seeding the teams on Sunday and then hoping fans get there by Thursday or Friday, like, I think you have a better chance of having it here than somewhere else.
So South Carolina did get by Indiana.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, they were
by
up 20.
Four.
I think they're up 22 and just pulled everybody out and said, we moved on again, and then kind of let it slip away. And then they handled the business at the end of the game. But, yeah, made it probably a little too close. I know it got down to two at one point, and then South Carolina drew up a three or drew up a play from out of bounds and hit a three wide open. That's just what they do.
Marquette and NC State starting up. What were your thoughts on this one coming in?
I like Marquette a lot.
You lay it? 6-7?
It did get up to 7. I was trying to get a 6. I didn't. But, yeah, I think Marquette is a far superior offensive team, and they actually are significantly better defensively too. So I just think they're a much better team. Who knows what happens at the end of the game? There's been a lot of random results at the end of games in this tournament, as there is all the time, but I feel Marquette is a pretty vastly superior team.
All right. Damon, you got anything on this one?
Yes, I do. I bought some points with NC State. I got them up to plus 10.
Are you buying points on straight bets?
No, it's included in the parlay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. In the parlay.
You're buying points on – okay. You're not even teasing? You're just buying points on parlays?
Yes.
All right.
We'll see. I'll post the ticket once it hits tonight.
Okay.
All right.
If it's big.
Two possessions, two turnovers so far for NC State.
Now I will tell you, coming up, you got Gonzaga and Purdue. Now, one of the keys automatically in every game against Purdue, to me, is go right at Zach Edey, however you can.
Yeah.
Get him off the freaking floor. How many times in a row do you feed Graham Ike coming out of the gates? 10?
Well, I would try, but at the same time,
let's go.
If he start, I mean, he does have a tendency to also commit offensive fouls.
Yeah.
You don't want him getting in foul trouble, for sure.
All right.
Especially if you're force feeding him the ball.
And as part of my betting the futures, 2 days after the championship game last year, I have Gonzaga at 40-1.
Okay.
I already started hedging. I did it early. So I'll fill you in on that. We'll come back. We got some NFL draft stuff to get to. Wild stuff in terms of rumors out there and odds movement.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Gold Turtle Sportsbook and Bar. Chowing down on some wings here. All right. I'll send out some pictures. Onion rings as well. I'm an onion rings junkie.
Oh.
Love it.
I found out a friend of ours is a potato skins junkie.
Really?
He claims he orders them at about 40% of meals out.
Damon?
It's not Damon.
No. Onion rings, potato skins. Which one?
Onion rings all day.
I find that a lot of restaurants don't actually make their potato skins. They're frozen. I've had a lot of bad potato skins in my life.
What do you dip yours in? Do you not dip?
Which one?
Onion rings.
What's my go-to dip? Dip. Sorry, I was pulling a J-Lo there.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. I just get a dip. No, there's 800 kinds of dip, J-Lo. You got to name one.
If you know, you know.
I don't know what the dip is that we have here, but I liked it.
What do you usually get, ranch or mustard?
I'm not a ranch guy. I don't know. I got like a secret sauce at a restaurant the other night, and then you try to kind of pick what it is. It's all different formulas.
I think they're usually like ranch-based.
Yeah, but I don't like ranch, so okay. I don't want it ranch-based. I'm going to make a mistake here, a real big mistake, and mention a commercial. Because okay. I've done this pretty much.
You were
much.
Very annoyed with somebody in a commercial.
Well, first of all, you know that on this show, no matter who's been on the show, the cast, I am generally the only one who watches commercials during the NCAA tournament. It's the same commercials in every break.
Yeah.
Oftentimes on four TVs. So you just see the same commercials over and over again. And that goes back to was it Applebee's with the Gilligan's commercial?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just ad nauseum. And you'd sit in a big ballroom, and they'd have the sound up in all the games, and you'd get it over and over again. Damon, I'm guessing you don't watch commercials?
I try to, but when I watch them here in studio, the volume's off, so I'm only going off the images of what I think is a good commercial. Okay. So the Capital One ones this March Madness have been great.
Yep. Okay,
I haven't listened to one.
Is the singing commercial a good commercial?
I thought it was great.
I think it's tremendous. I don't think Adam's ever seen it before. Plus, I'm a massive Dionne Warwick fan. There's a history with Dionne living in Vegas, which is tremendous that Willie's talked about. But that's her song they're doing, which, by the way, that's what Friends Are For, is such an iconic song and raised. There's a documentary on her. I think that song, because it came out to raise money to cure AIDS, right? So I think, and she took no money for it. She better be getting money for this now, finally. She better be getting money for it. But, no, the thing that annoyed me in the commercial, if you have the sound of Damon, is everyone sings, and not everyone's a good singer in the commercial. You know, they shame themselves a little bit for the cause. And then Jim Nantz doesn't sing. What is this narrating thing?
He's famous for his voice, Steve. He's got to do a shtick.
He can probably sing. Most guys with a deep voice can at least sing a deep part of a song.
Maybe he can't. Or maybe he just didn't want to subject the entire world to his singing.
Do I make this into a big deal?
Could be that bad.
And smash Jim Nantz for not singing? Magic Johnson sings. He's not good. It's not good. Jennifer Garner sings. She's not good. But she tried. And that's the thing.
She just wanted the effort.
Well, disappointed in Nantz.
I can tell. I mean, you were when the commercial was on.
Yes. What are you betting right now?
Just trying to wait for the right number.
Okay. You're in game. It's 20-10. You, like me, are very much a...
It's actually 20-12.
Okay. 20-12. They're a little... You're actually on time. The TVs here aren't, and no one's TVs are. Sometimes TVs are like three plays behind. So, yeah, it's 20-12 NC State. Maybe Adam's looking to bounce back here with Marquette. So, Damon, we started the week, well, really the middle of the week, talking about the workouts for the pro days for NFL players and around the quarterbacks. Have you seen the massive switch now? We were making a really big deal the other day, and that was on Wednesday, about Jaden Daniels in like 2 days going from way beyond 10-1, way beyond, all the way down to +350 to be the number two pick in the draft, and that would actually make him the third choice. You guys saw the switch today? Now, Drake May is the third choice to go number two at +205. He was a favorite at about -170. Now Jaden Daniels is -160.
Yeah.
What has happened in 3 days that now everyone at Sportsbooks is reacting, pushing Daniels to the favorite at -160 when you could get him at, like, I have to go back and look at the Wednesday number. It was massive.
Brian Kelly happened. He maybe slipped up, maybe did it intentionally. Who knows? Maybe a sportsbook paid him to say it. At this point, I think that's what we always believe when things like this happen. But Brian Kelly discussed how Jaden Daniels is being selected by Washington and how they're already surrounding him with the right talent and the right coaches and how he's excited about it. It did sound like a slip. He was kind of saying, hey, wherever he goes, he's going to be prepared, and kind of dropped in, you know, I know there's teams that are, you know, setting him up to be in a good position, and I think it's going to work out really well in Washington. And, like, it was almost like, oh, shouldn't have said that. Or was it on purpose? Who knows? But I think people did run with this, and I think with good reason. I mean, I think there's reason to believe already that it was going to be Jaden Daniels in the number two pick, but when things like this happen, people run to Judge.
And let me get it right. I'm overstating. We were talking early in the week about J.J. McCarthy moving up into the running for the second pick. Daniels has gone up a little bit, but we did say the other day on Wednesday, Damon, how do we react to J.J. McCarthy being rumored for the number two pick? Make sure you bet Jaden Daniels, because now the value is about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Because the McCarthy thing could be completely false rumor.
Of course. And it could be, it could be a narrative pushed by his old coach, Jim Harbaugh.
That's another interesting one. Just to go back to, I think it was last year's betting, right? Didn't we knew people, and it was probably Brad Powers, we knew people who had good numbers on the number one and two pick for both Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, because it had flipped so much in the path to the draft,
yeah,
that you could actually get good plus numbers.
Yeah, when it moves in favor of Young, you'd bet Stroud. When it moves in favor of Stroud, you'd bet Young on both picks, and you end up with plus money on both sides of both picks.
So you're right, on Wednesday, there was a big push about J.J. McCarthy moving all the way up to the number two pick, and he had come from way down on the odds board to get to the number two pick. You think this might be an intentional work by the guy who holds the number five pick?
Potentially. If it is in, if J.J. McCarthy is still on the board at five, it is in the best interest of Jim Harbaugh to make everybody believe that he's going to be picked. Or,
by the way, on Monday, J.J. McCarthy to go number two was 25-1. The next day it was 8-1. A little after that, he was 3.5-1.
Yeah.
You think a lot of that could be the Harbaugh chatter?
Could be. And Harbaugh's pushing it because he wants his pick at five to be more valuable if McCarthy is still there, which makes a ton of sense. And who knows? This is all speculation, too. I mean, every part of this is speculation, okay, and games and all that sort of thing. So it's tough to say exactly where the information is coming from, but it does stand to benefit J.J. McCarthy. Excuse me, it stands to benefit the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh if there is a ton of value and hype on J.J. McCarthy potentially going in that spot.
I mean, it is a smart move.
Yeah.
The Chargers cannot stay at five. They can't.
No.
Anything they can get within, I mean, don't drop out of the first round. But any value they can get for the five to get some extra picks.
Yeah.
Because what they want, what the positions they need are plentiful.
They need Malik Nabers.
But those positions are plentiful. Probably beyond 10, you're going to get the second or third best guy at a position of need for Harbaugh and the Chargers is going to be there.
Yeah, and I would think, I mean, look, if I think an ideal draft potentially for the Chargers would be to trade down about, you know, 7 to 10 spots even and still get Brock Bowers. I mean, that would be a fantastic draft for the Chargers.
If the Vikings wouldn't have to give up 11 and 23 to move up to 5, would they?
Maybe.
If they're desperate enough for McCarthy and he's there?
If the hype builds enough and people start freaking out, I mean, that's what it is. It becomes a bidding war, and that's what they want, and that's part of why they want the value to go up.
That would be tremendous. Now we got a real stall in the game scoring-wise. Still 20-12 NC State on top of Marquette. 10:45 left in the first half.
Marquette 0-7 from 3.
Oh, boy. Do you have a prediction on Gonzaga and Purdue?
It's a really weird one. This is a very it's turning into a very sharp versus square game. A ton of tickets on Purdue. A ton of pro bettors on Gonzaga here. So I would usually in those instances tend to lead with Gonzaga because, you know, that seems to be the sharper side. But Zach Edey is just such a tough player to handicap. If you told me he didn't get in foul trouble, he stays in the game,
yep,
you know, 30 minutes, 34 minutes, whatever it's going to be, I think Gonzaga's in trouble.
And that's why I was suggesting earlier that they need to go at him and get him off the floor, but I don't think they will, and I think he'll get their bigs off the floor. I don't think it's going to change in this round or this game where all of a sudden Zach Edey is sitting on the bench in foul trouble. We'll come back. We'll get you some updates on what's going on around the Mountain West Conference. And every day I give you a transfer portal update. It's over 1,000 players now, but some players of interest in the portal.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
24-16, NC State on top of Marquette. Sweet 16 Friday games have started here at the Golden Circle. We got Gonzaga and Purdue coming up. We'll get into the late games in a couple minutes with Patrick Berber, the risk supervisor here at the Treasure Island Sportsbook. You're pretty close to, you have a good relationship with Todd Simon, the old UNLV interim head coach, and was in Cedar City.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For a while. Moved on to Bowling Green?
Yep.
1 year.
Yeah, 20 wins. Like, I think only the fourth time in school history, something crazy like that.
All right. He is a candidate. We'll look for an update to see if Utah State pulled the trigger, but he's a candidate for the Utah State job back in the Mountain West Conference.
Be interesting. I know a lot of people thought he should have been in the Mountain West Conference a long time ago. He's kind of worked his way up and had some success everywhere he's been. And wouldn't be surprised if somebody gave him a hire. Now, I know he was enjoying being in the Midwest and working at Bowling Green, not far from home, where he can be close to family and things like that, but he knows this region very well, and I think he knows that he can have some success out here.
Would that be your next jump?
If I were him? Probably not. I think he wants to live in the Midwest. So I don't know.
Aside from living, if you're going to make a jump, I mean, listen, they've made the NCAA's 5 or 6 years with 3 different coaches. They've got a tradition there.
Yeah.
He worked in Utah, though.
Yeah, he did.
And he did discuss at least the challenge at his first stop in Utah.
Didn't love it. But there was also...
What were the challenges?
It was just trying to bring kids in. It was also not just Utah. It was the fact that there was the facilities and everything else there and how small Cedar City is.
Part of it is Utah. One of the things you could talk about is maybe the lack of entertainment options. Like,
sure.
There's not even many places to go and just crack a beer.
Yeah.
Lifestyle stuff.
Yeah, I mean, kids you're recruiting aren't old enough anyway, for the most part. But there's certainly challenges of where you are, geographical. But I think part of him, still loves UNLV, wants to be around. But I think part of him also wants to say, hey, look, you could have had me a long time ago. I'm going to come in your conference and dominate. Like, I think he would like to do that. So that there's some unfinished business potentially that's there. But so, mostly he's just a coach that wants to work his way up. And that's what he's been doing.
News in Todd Kowalczyk. All right, here we go. Staying at Toledo.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't take the Utah State job. But it's just not a match for me.
No.
I'm not a Logan guy.
No. Certainly not.
And I also think there are challenges in recruiting certain players to Logan, Utah.
Yeah. Look, they have some tradition. They have some success. So there's something to build off of. But
I think he's a great coach. I think he's going to win at Bowling Green. I think opportunities will come along. And especially if it's a regional deal for him, he'll find something good in the Midwest. But he's a good coach, and he's a hell of a recruiter. And I mentioned challenges of recruiting too. Logan, he'd overcome it.
Yeah, he overcame it in Cedar City. He definitely, I think he would have success wherever he goes.
I think he had a chance to overcome it here at UNLV, but that was such a mess at the time.
Yeah, for sure. But I think he would have been able to do it.
You think he'd be a good candidate down the road at UNLV?
I mean, I don't think UNLV is in the market.
Sit down the road.
We
do have to be realistic on Kevin Kruger. I think he wants to be here. If he does launch into massive success, we know what happens.
Sure.
People are going to come after him.
Sure, but we don't know where Todd Simon would be at that point either. I mean, he could have moved on also. It's certainly possible.
But some of the circles he was running in for recruits back in the day when he was the interim coach, and then there was a lot of indecision, and there was infighting about support, you know, supporting this guy or supporting going after the high-level guy. He's a good recruiter, and he, I'll tell you what, he did a good job building up things at Southern Utah.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, we got two games now in the Sweet 16 underway. Purdue out to an early 5-4 lead against Gonzaga. 17.5 minutes left in the first half. And then Marquette still trailing. Big least. Do we do that every game? We just grade the conference every single game and overreact at the half. It's 26-19 in that one as Cinderella, NC State.
Kind of, yeah. By far the worst KenPom team still alive.
Okay. You know, back in the old days, we used to buy the Cinderella thing, whether it was the ACC or the Big East.
Sure.
Because you remember NC State winning the title. That was a Cinderella. And Villanova winning a title, but again, from the ACC and the Big East. I don't know that they'll be tolerated today.
No, I don't think so. Because it's money and all the – we understand all the financials around it.
Well, part of the story also was the fact that Houston and Georgetown were superpowers at the time. And I have to look back on the lines to see how big the spreads were. They probably weren't as big as you think. But both were expected to win the championship in dominant fashion. So Patrick Berbert is here with us. He's the risk supervisor at Treasure Island. So we got games underway. Before we get to the games tonight and the games tomorrow, just give me your general – well, first of all, give me the betting take. Where were people today on Marquette and NC State?
We were heavy with money on Marquette coming into this game, so we're definitely going to need NC State to cover here. It's looking good so far for us there as well. But we saw great two-way action on Gonzaga and Purdue, which is really good. And this is a rematch of the Maui Invitational as well. So it should be a really good game right here, Purdue and Gonzaga, two firepower offenses.
Remind me, are you pro-Purdue or anti? Not as a fan, but in general from a betting option standpoint, especially after – well, following their recent history, they just haven't been a really good tournament team.
For as far as advancing, I really like Purdue here, but from a spread standpoint, it didn't really interest me this game.
Let's get to the games coming up. I think Houston got by their rough game and maybe a rough coaching moment last week. They're getting a little healthier. I don't think Filipowski is going to react well to the physicality. And he's kind of got a temper, and he can act like a baby sometimes. So we'll see what happens there. Give me where the betting is right now on the Cougars and the Blue Devils.
We're seeing 4-1 ticket action on Houston here, so it's really public on the Houston side over here. Yeah, but like
you looked at me the whole time, you're like, square.
Houston's they're a dominant team. They're really good on defense. Part of the reason they struggled against A&M last week, Houston's really good at blowing up ball screens, and A&M runs iso ball, and Houston really didn't have an answer for it last week. So Duke is a matchup nightmare here for them. So I think Houston's going to have a lot easier of a game here, but I think it's going to be a great game. I think you're looking at too many points here. Houston, they're coming out of that overtime win that they got lucky to escape and survive from. But Duke, they're playing their best basketball right now. They're really good. I believe they have a size advantage down low with Mark Mitchell and Kyle Filipowski. So that could struggle, and especially if they get Houston's bigs into foul trouble, then they're limited on size down low.
Another team that kind of struggled through last week, Tennessee. They got by Texas, and now they move on and play Creighton. It's a pretty classic offense versus defense type of matchup, with Creighton just being electric on offense, Tennessee being very solid defensively. Where are people going here?
We're seeing good two-way action on the Creighton-Tennessee game, so this should be a really good game for us. And I like you said, Tennessee, they really struggled last week, and they had trouble putting up points. And I really think there's a mismatch here tonight. You know, Dalton Connect likes to drive into the paint. He likes to score a lot of points down the post. And Creighton has a guy named Ryan Kalkbrenner, and he's a defensive presence down low. And something that really sticks out to me and amazes me is, you know, Tennessee likes to get their opponents into foul trouble. Creighton doesn't foul at all. And Ryan Kalkbrenner has played 133 games for his career. 102 of them were starts, and he's never fouled out of a game. So So that's a really stat that sticks out to me. And if they can stay out of foul trouble, I think Tennessee's going to have trouble scoring.
They often stay out of foul trouble because they don't defend. Like that is, I mean, it's one way to not foul is if you don't try to defend anybody. So I think they're going to have to try to defend. And the knock on one of my favorite comments about Kalkbrenner from around the Big East, if you talk to opponents and coaches and people around there, what's his strength? He's big. What does he do well? He's big. Like he's the guy that's, if he didn't have size, he wouldn't be anything. And that's kind of what the knock on him has been. So I think it is interesting to see him kind of getting some shine here and having to step up in a big game potentially. NC State just keeps making threes, by the way, as we're sitting here. Marquette, I think that was like 2 for 15. And NC State, I think, has made 6. So that is the difference in the game.
34-22. Were you recommending the over for the late game tonight? 146.5 with Creighton and Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee wants it to be 54-52.
Can it go over? If Creighton isn't a great defensive team, and I will tell you, watching them up close here against UNLV over the Dollar Loan Center, they weren't very good that night defensively. They got theirs, though. They can score. So where are people on the total?
We're seeing two-way action on the total here. I think Tennessee is really going to try and speed it up here. According to some analytics stats, Tennessee likes to play better in a faster-paced offense. That's where they play better basketball on the court. So, and Creighton, you know, you think of a fast-powered, high-powered offense, but they're one of the slower-tempo teams in basketball this year, and they like to utilize the shot clock. So I think Tennessee is going to try and speed up the game here.
Clemson and Alabama tomorrow popped up around 2.5. Has it moved off that much, and where are people going with this game?
We're seeing two-way action so far. We're sitting at Alabama 2 on this game. Rest of the market's still sitting at 2.5. These are two surprises that you're going to see in the Elite Eight here that a lot of people didn't expect to get here. Alabama, you know, they've got that firepower offense. They were able to outscore North Carolina yesterday night. But Clemson, they're playing really good basketball. They're 3-0 here in the tournament. Their offense has really gotten off to good starts that has them keep leads in every game, so they really haven't had to play from behind at all. And their defense has been phenomenal. So it's going to be a really good matchup tomorrow. Chase Hunter at point guard is playing really good basketball for Clemson, and PJ Hull down low. The key to them is to not get him in foul trouble, because he had 0 fouls in the first half against Arizona yesterday, and then he picked up 3 quick fouls early. He had to come out. Arizona came back, and he came back on the court, and they were able to control that lead yesterday.
I thought the Illinois-UConn line was very fascinating in terms of when it was being posted. I was sitting with a bunch of people that do what you do for a living and post numbers, and we were trying to figure out what it was going to be. KenPom number, I believe, was going to be around 9. I thought it would be significantly lower. I thought 7. I saw 7.5 pop up right away, and it immediately, within seconds, was 8.5. Where did you guys open, and what have you done with it?
Yeah, we opened 9 on that game. We're sitting at 8.5, I believe, still right now, before I came up to the counter over here. But Connecticut, they're just as dominant as anybody right now. They're just rolling through opponents. They're not winning. They're just dominant in every aspect of the game. And I mean, but Illinois is playing really good basketball right now. Tyron Shannon is leading the way there. In his 6 games that he's had in the conference tournament and NCAA tournament, he's averaging 32 points per game while shooting 53% from the field. So he's the key to that team if they want to have a chance to stay in this game tomorrow. But it is a lot of points for a really good Illinois defense, but I'm not going to fade UConn right now. They're just rolling.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any way that this is going to stay at this number tomorrow? I think you're going to get freaking pounded with the enthusiast about how well UConn's been playing. This might be – what do you think? Before we let Patrick answer, what do you – I don't think it's going to go lower, is it?
Well, I think you're going to have Sharps coming back.
Yeah, Sharps.
If you move it, so.
I think I'm going to side with Steve here. I think you're going to see a lot of UConn money come in, but then, like he said, people are going to hit it the other way, so it could come back down.
All right. Interesting matchup. I don't know. I'm not picking against UConn. I'm not rooting for him, but last night was – that was incredibly impressive, no doubt. Patrick Berbert from Treasure Island is here with us as we're breaking down the tournament and the Sweet 16. And we got 14-10 in Gonzaga and Purdue. Gonzaga leads that one, about 14 minutes left. And as Adam said, 3's reigning for NC State. They're up 12 with 1.5 left in the first half. It's 34-22 on that one. I want to get to a little NFL, believe it or not, in a couple of seconds. And then we also have I want to talk some prop betting But what are you starting to think for potential Final Four matchups? Do you guys have anything booked in terms of exact matchups? How are you going to handle this?
We don't have anything booked in terms of exact matchups, but we are offering props for all the games as far as game props as race to 10 points, team totals, and then we're doing player point props for all the games remaining. So that's something new here at the TI Sportsbook that we're getting a lot of action on that we saw in the first round, so we're pretty excited about that going forward. I mean, Final Four matchups, you know, you're not getting what you really wanted on the left side of the bracket on UConn's side. But on the right side of the bracket, you've got some really good possible matchups where you could see, like, Purdue versus Marquette. You could see you can have Houston in there. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But one thing that really sticks out to me, it's, like, really weird, is that Purdue's road to the Final Four and the championship game is the Maui Invitational, where they're playing Gonzaga tonight. They could possibly play Tennessee next, and if they win that game, if Tennessee was to win tonight, they would play Marquette in the Final Four to go to the championship game. So that's really interesting to me, and I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, I said this earlier on the year on your show, that I wouldn't be surprised to see Purdue get to the Final Four just because they have more experience now with their guards. They're playing well, and Edie is your reigning National Player of the Year, so I like Purdue to advance to the Final Four and possibly championship game here.
Did you guys start to see the NFL over-under win totals leaking out there? And it's not leaking. They've been posted in different places. We discussed the Raiders yesterday. These numbers seem to be out a little bit early, and I'm not saying the Raiders would be upgraded with, you know, a quarterback taken at the 13th pick, but we don't have the complete picture yet. What do you think about the numbers coming out this early?
It's kind of tough to book them because you could put yourself in a really bad situation because, like you said, the draft hasn't happened yet. So teams that need to draft a quarterback, like Caleb Williams and Jalen Daniels, will probably be starters for their team this year. Drake May possibly could as well. So that could affect the market a little bit. And then,
I mean, in the case of Caleb Williams, it's got to be built into the number already, right? Win total is 8.5.
Yeah.
Over is minus 135. I'll take under. That seems aggressive. What do you think? Over 8.5, minus 135?
They have a lot of cap money to spend still, and they've addressed the wide receiver position. They might be able to put up points on the board. It's still questionable to see how their offensive line is going to hold up and if their defense can keep them in enough games, too, if their offense doesn't put enough points on the board. But, I mean, I wouldn't take the under on that 8.5.
Okay.
For the Bears.
A hot topic on one of the ESPN morning shows. Steelers, 7.5. Everyone on the show was shocked that it was that low.
Yeah, it's really interesting, especially, you know, since Mike Tomlin, he's had a 500 record for how many years in a row that you could possibly remember. And he won this year with Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, and it's just amazing what he does with what he has to work with. And I believe, you know, like, you could think what you want about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, but I think that they are upgrades over what they had last year. So to go with 7.5 here and then getting T.J. Watt back, he's the key to that defense. I'm taking the over on the Steelers.
We have less than a minute left. Might be a hard question to answer without running it by everyone here at the book, but the NCAA is pushing for states to look at prop bets, player prop bets in college sports, and say, take them off the board. I went off yesterday. I'm like, absolutely do not do that. We said maybe back away from booking certain things, but I think it would be a mistake to take a bunch of stuff off the board because the NCAA asked.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that, and I think it has to do a lot with what's going on with all these athletes betting now and whatnot. And that has really, at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with us. These teams have to implement a stricter policy in place and to really get these players to stop
betting. Scare the hell out of them, right? Yep. And it's zero tolerance. That's it. You're done. But they got it. It's on their side, man. This stuff's regulated. We know what we're doing. You guys don't know what you're doing. So not to be too harsh, but. We are up against it. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Get on down here, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We get another hour on the way as we're tracking the Sweet 16.
Modelo is an official cerveza of the Las Vegas Raiders and the JT the Brick Show. Modelo Especial is a rich, full-flavored Pilsner-style lager, delivering a crisp, refreshing taste, brewed with fighting spirit since 1925.
Hi, this is Peyton Manning. I know a thing or two about audibles, specifically when it comes to making a change during the game. You can call your own audibles with early cash out on the Caesars Sportsbook Nevada app. With early cash out, now you have the option to audible your previously placed wagers with just a click.
Audible? Is this just an excuse for you to say Omaha in an ad?
Exactly, Eli. Omaha.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.